That song, you need to come next week. Next week, I guarantee you, the song that we're going to be performing, there won't be a dry eye in the place. Studies on our social habits of Americans show that we are probably more connected today than ever before, yet we are also more isolated. You see, social media has replaced personal friendships for many. And many today are isolated and lonely. Many years ago, Dr. Billy Graham was on a college campus, and he asked the dean of that campus, he said, "Dean," he said, "what's the greatest problem that you see on this campus?" And he said he didn't know what to expect, but he said the dean looked out the window, and he said, "the greatest problem that we have on this campus today is loneliness." One of Billy Graham's associate evangelists was out around, and Dr. John Wesley White is his name, and he was told one day that he was exiting his hotel in which he was staying. In the lobby, cameras had been set up, and actor Richard Chamberlain was being interviewed by a female reporter. And Dr. White said, "I stopped to observe the proceedings," and he reported that at one point, Chamberlain flashed that smile that he was so famous for, and it caught the interviewer off guard. And looking at him, she kind of stammered, and she quipped, "My, Mr. Chamberlain, you must be the happiest man alive." And White reports that at that comment, Mr. Chamberlain's smile vanished in an instant, and he replied, and I'm quoting here, he replied, "Happy? Me? Happy? No, I'm lonely as hell." Perhaps you're sitting here today and that describes you. On the outside, you put up a good front, but on the inside, there is a crushing loneliness, and you don't know what it is. And if that describes you, you've come to the right place today. To understand this problem of loneliness, we have to go way back to creation. Now, you may be here today and you don't believe the creation account of Scripture. You think that that's merely a myth made up by uninformed people to explain how we got here. And you may believe that evolution is true and that we got here by a naturalistic process. Now, I personally happen to believe in the creation accounts of Genesis. Having studied biology as a biology major at the University of Pittsburgh before I moved over to ministerial studies, I bet you didn't know that. Even back in those days, there were many things about Darwinian's evolution, Darwin's theory, that simply didn't add up. I had one biology teacher, actually he was a genetics teacher, and while he was explaining the process of evolution, he stopped mid-sentence. What he was writing on the blackboard, stopped mid-sentence, turned and faced the class, and I'll never forget this. He said to us, 280 students sitting in that classroom, puzzled look on his face, "Class, it could never happen." And he sat there for a minute looking puzzled. Finally, he shook his head, shrugged his shoulders, and he said, "But it did." And he went right on with the lecture. Now, what we know today, with the advances that we have in modern science, many leading scientists will tell you that had the knowledge that we have today existed in Darwin's day, his theory would have never gotten off the ground. The complexity of the simplest cell is such that we know that it could not come about by time plus chance. And see, that's what the genetics professor was struggling with those many years ago. Now, you may agree with me, you may disagree with this assessment, and that's your prerogative. It's okay. I'm not asking you to agree with me, but I'm asking you to at least hear what I'm about to say. Because perhaps there is something, what I'm about to say, that is going to address this prevailing problem of loneliness that is so prevalent in our day. You know, if you accept the Genesis account, You know that God created a perfect world. After each day of creation, the account ends with these words, "And God saw that it was good." Oh, and just for the what it's worth department, you do realize, I hope, that the creation account from Genesis 1 through 5 is an account written by Adam himself, don't you? While the source of Genesis, as found in our Bible, is Moses, the evidence of the manuscripts point to the fact that Moses wasn't recording these events by supernatural visions, but rather he was reporting historical accounts that existed in his day, which he, as a trained Egyptian scholar, compiles into his own history book that we call Genesis. Now, how do we know that? We know that because every major break in the book, we read these words. This is the written account of. And then Moses supplies the name of the source material. It's kind of like a footnote. In the case of creation, in Genesis 5:1, we read this. This is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. What we have there in the Hebrew is, this is the toledah of Adam. This is what Adam wrote. The idea being that what we know in Genesis 1 through 5 about Adam's family, it was recorded by Adam himself. Now, I'm a simple man. And the reason that I believe creation is, one, all of the existing evidence supports, in my mind, a purposeful designer. And two, I've personally chosen to believe the account of someone who was there at the beginning rather than someone who speculates on what happened at the beginning. Just saying. If you accept the creation account, you get a great start on dealing with this problem of loneliness that we're talking about this morning. Because here's the key. After saying it is good five times, God says for the first time something in creation is not good. Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now here's Adam. Perfect man, in a perfect environment. And by the way, some people do think that there's a contradiction in the creation accounts because of the differences they see in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Please understand, there is not a problem here. Genesis 1 is the overview. It's the introduction. Genesis 2 is the details, the specifics. If you ever read Tom Clancy, you see him do this all the time. He'll explain something in one chapter and then he'll go back in the next chapter, go back into history to pick it up and explain a little bit more why he said what he said in the first chapter. Because you can't say everything at one particular point. That's exactly what we have in the scripture. You have the overview, and then you have the detail. On day six of creation, God has made man. He's placed him in the Garden of Eden. And Adam has all of the animals as his pets to keep him company. Now, personally, I believe at this point, this is my personal opinion, so please understand this, but I believe that Adam was like Dr. Doolittle, who could talk to the animals. And I believe that because, number one, by God's decree, he's supposed to have dominion over them, so he's got to be able to communicate with them. And number two, when you get to chapter 3, when the serpent talks to Eve, she's not fazed. Now, I don't know about you, but if an animal talked to me and I understood it, I'd be seeking a psychiatrist. You know what I'm saying? But she's not even fazed. With all of these animals at his beck and call, as wonderful as pets can be to us, they are no substitute for human contact. And that's what God points out in our text. By making this statement, it is not good for a man to be alone. Now, the immediate context of that text is marriage. I understand that. Marriage is not something that man invented. It's the first created institution of God. And by the way, let me just say, because of that, we don't get to redefine it for modern day. Now, we can, and we are playing fast and loose with this divine institution. We're playing fast and loose with it in a societal sense. But when all is said and done, we are not the ones who get to make marriage what we want it to be. We may redefine it to our own liking. We may redefine its parameters, but our parameters don't change the facts. Marriage is instituted by God and is in creation defined as the intimate relationship between one man and one woman. You've heard it said, he created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. In its proper context, it allows them, man and woman, to stand bare naked before one another and feel no shame. You know, if there's shame in your relationship sexually, you can be sure that it's a relationship that's not going to be blessed by God because there's something that's not right. So while we understand the immediate context of Genesis 2:18 to be a relationship between a man and a woman in marriage, the larger context, I believe, that we find from this passage is that by creation and by design, we are social creatures. God has made us so that we need one another. Life is better when we're connected. That's how God designed it. And when we violate that design, the result is loneliness. You know, psychologists tell us that there are different kinds of loneliness, different forms of loneliness. There is what we call situational loneliness. That is a loneliness that comes from physical separation from family and friends. And I've got startling news for you. Those people on Facebook, they're not your friends. Stop kidding yourself. When God said it's not good for man to be alone, he didn't give Adam a computer. Say, have at it. And I've got news for you. The computer is not going to fill the void in your life. Wouldn't fill the void in Adam's life. It's not going to fill the void in your life either. We were made for physical connections with other real human beings, not cyber friends. People that will never touch. You know, the problem here on Facebook, you know, I told people for years I wouldn't do Facebook because I had a face that was made for radio book. But I'm on Facebook now. But the problem that I find on Facebook is connections are safe on Facebook, aren't they? I mean, think about this. You can be whatever you want to be. And if a person is already struggling with their own self-worth, it's easy to see why they prefer the distant friendship that can't touch them to the real friendships that might hurt them. You know, I love that commercial on TV. You probably see it. The lady is given some bad information. The guy says, where did you get that information? And she said, I got it from the internet. And he said, well, the internet can't lie, can it? She said, oh, no, it can't. She said, as a matter of fact, I'm about to have a date with a French model. You know the one I'm talking about, right? Guy walks up, he's a mess. And he says, bonjour. And she smiles like, yeah, see, I told you. But you know what? There's a lot of real truth in that commercial, isn't there? Because there's a lot of lonely people online trying to invent for themselves a persona that other online people will love. And all the while, every one of them is sitting at that keyboard. And like Richard Chamberlain, they're saying, me happy? I'm lonely as hell. Dr. Miriam Stark Parent says, from the moment of birth, humans seek attachment and connections. Without attachment or relationships, infants will fail to thrive. Without a feeling of connectedness, adults may yield to depression. Because God created people in his image, he has made them relational. When God saw Adam alone in the Garden of Eden, he said, being alone was not good. Despite his own presence and relationship with Adam, God knew that people also needed human relationships. You see, human beings need both a vertical intimacy with God and a horizontal intimacy with other people in order to be fulfilled. And when we are isolated from physical contact with others, we struggle with situational loneliness. And in our society that's so mobile, it's so easy to get isolated, isn't it? I mean, we move away. You know, it used to be that most people lived within a 40-mile radius of the place that they were born. Not anymore. And it creates a situational loneliness for a lot of people. They never fill that void. A second form of loneliness is emotional loneliness. And emotional loneliness comes not from physical separation with others, but from emotional separation from others. If we don't have people that we feel close to, people with whom we can have an intimate emotional relationship, we feel lonely. That's why you can be in a crowd of people. You might be at a party or even in a bar, you know, a singles bar, and there are people all around you, and you still feel lonely. That's that emotional separation. And then there's this thing called chronic loneliness. Chronic loneliness is a result of feeling within yourself that you don't belong and that no one understands you. And people who struggle with this form of loneliness want to belong. They desperately want to belong, but their own internal struggles separate them from meaningful contact with others. And many times their own behavior drives other people away from them. It's not because they're trying to be mean. It's because they're hurting. And it's a downward, defeating spiral that happens. If someone starts to get close, the individual puts up walls to protect themselves. Well, they may want to be close because they fear being close because they're afraid that I don't like me very much, so other people aren't going to like me. They're going to hurt me. So I'm going to make sure they don't get close enough to hurt me. I'm going to build this castle that I hide behind, and I don't need anybody. And they isolate themselves. As a matter of fact, when I was younger, and some of you are going to recognize this, when I was younger, there was a song by Simon and Garfunkel. It was entitled, "I Am a Rock." I want you to listen to the words. We're going to put them up here for you, but I want you to see these words, and I want you to listen to the song. You young people won't understand it. You old people, you'll get very nostalgic here. Okay, go ahead. Sound familiar? Many of us have been there, done that, and I want to tell you something. That last phrase, "a rock feels no pain and an island never cries," not true. We just do it behind those walls so that nobody can see. See, the truth is, we do feel pain and we do cry. But we don't want anyone to know about that. We don't want anyone to know what we're going through. Been there, done that myself. And I've discovered in my pain that my chronic pain really began with a cosmic loneliness. A loneliness for God. You see, because we were created by God and we were created for God, and when we are separated from Him, we are going to experience loneliness. And this separation from God began in the garden. See, God gave man a choice, and man chose poorly. Adam wanted to decide for himself what he thought was good and what was bad for him. Today he would have said, "You know what, God, let me define marriage. Let me be the one who says who can have a loving relationship and who can't have a loving relationship. I can decide that myself." He wanted that authority for himself, and we as his children have followed suit, haven't we? It's what the Bible calls sin. We're like spoiled children who want our own way, and when we don't get our own way, we throw our little temper tantrums, and it has resulted in a rift in this vertical relationship with God. And you'll never deal with the problem of loneliness effectively until you deal with that rift. I do think that there is no way that we can deal with the problem of loneliness until we resolve the issue of cosmic loneliness, until the vertical intimacy with God is reestablished. You say, how can we do that? Well, that's a great question. Glad you ask it. Picture you and I standing on the rim of the Grand Canyon at its narrowest part. The narrowest part of the Grand Canyon, I'm told, is 4 miles across. 4 miles across, the average depth from rim to river is 5,000 feet, a vertical mile. And we're standing there, and I begin to discuss with you which one of us is the better jumper. And we begin to discuss how far out from that rim we can make it. Who can jump the furthest? And then we decide to put our abilities to the test. And standing at that narrowest point, we mustered all of our jumping skills, and we do this marvelous running broad jump over the edge of the canyon. And you know what? At that point, it doesn't matter who manages to get the furthest out horizontally, because we're both going to jump the same distance vertically. 5,000 feet. One vertical mile. In a similar manner, you and I trying to bridge the gap between us and God would be as about successful as trying to leap across the Grand Canyon, even at its nearest point. If you want to get from one side of the canyon to the other, what do you need to do? You need to drive. You need to find a bridge. You need to find a bridge. Now, the gap that exists between God and us is so incredibly vast that it took him building the bridge to cross it, and that bridge is the cross. Peter wrote, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." To reestablish the intimacy of that broken vertical relationship. Here's what I know. As long as my relationship with God is broken or flawed, my relationship with everyone else is going to be broken and flawed. Truth being, when my relationship with God is questionable, I don't even like myself most of the time. So why should other people like me? So like that Simon and Garfunkel song, what do? We wall ourselves off. We convince ourselves that we're a rock and we don't feel pain and we don't need anybody. We've got our computers to protect us. We've got our Facebook friends to protect us. And we become a fortress. And unfortunately, what happens, the fortress we become becomes not a fortress of safety. It becomes a prison that we're in. A castle of loneliness. Maybe that describes you this morning, or you know someone it describes. And just maybe, what I've said makes some sense to you. You know, it's possible to be a Christian and still not have an intimate vertical relationship with God, isn't it? We can get out of fellowship just as easy. What happens all too often is the problems in our life start to pile up around us, and as they do, our trust in God begins to waver. We begin to wonder, God, where are those promises that I had? And we begin to doubt and we begin to question. And it always amazes me. This is my personal struggle. It always amazes me about myself that I am willing to trust God with my eternal well-being, but I doubt his care for me right now. You know what I'm talking about. I used to identify with Moses a lot. You know my testimony. Some of you know my testimony. I won't go into that right now, but I used to identify with Moses all the time. And, how stupid can the children of Israel be? I mean, God brings them through the Red Sea. And the minute they have a problem, they're saying, you deserted us. God feeds them manna in the wilderness. And they say, that's not enough. We don't want just bread. We want meat. God gives them meat. Soon as they're thirsty, he doesn't care about it. He's going to kill us. And I used to scratch my head over that until I discovered I was just like that. When problems come, I begin to wonder, God, do you really, really care about me? Because if you did, obviously I shouldn't be having this problem. Not necessarily true. God never promises to keep us from problems. He does promise to take us through them. And it may not be the way we want him to take us through them either. So we trust God for our eternal security. We doubt him for his care of us right now. If only we Christians would realize that the concept of eternal life is not something for after we die. It is something that affects us here and now in this life. And when my intimacy with God is intact, I find that I can be intimate and close to others. And we need both. The idea of the rugged, self-sufficient, self-made person who needs no one is a myth. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. We were made both for a vertical and for horizontal relationships, and it is the breakdown of these that result in the prevailing feelings of isolation and loneliness that so many people struggle with today. And this pervasive feeling of loneliness leads to depression and anxiety, all kinds of disorders, and all sorts of emotional and physical problems. And sadly, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Sadly, right now, the most prevailing treatment is to just give you a pill that dulls the ache. And don't misunderstand, again, I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't use those pills that dull the ache, because sometimes we've got to dull the ache before we can deal with the problem. Kind of like taking an aspirin. We use the medications that God has given us. And sometimes it's necessary to take the edge off the deep pain in our lives so we can see clearly the issue and move towards a solution. The problem comes, however, when we stop trying to move towards a solution and just take the pill to dull the ache. And don't seek solution. I'm telling you, I believe the number one cause of depression today is because we are isolated. We were made for one another, and we don't get together with one another, not in an intimate way. And because we don't have those intimate relationships that we were created to have, there's loneliness and there's depression. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a purposeful step towards building right relationships with other people. And to help you do that, we are in the process here at Gateway of forming small groups whose primary purpose is to connect people in relationship, because this is not a relationship. Sunday school is not a relationship. It's a classroom where you're taught. Our small groups are designed to connect you in relationships. And if you haven't looked into the small group, we've been talking about them for a number of weeks now. If you haven't looked into the small groups, if you haven't committed to one, I want you to stop by the table out on this side, not the resource table, but the other table on this side, and you're going to find a list of the small groups, the day they're going to meet, the time they're going to meet, and who's going to be the leader. And if you haven't signed up, I want you to stop and I want you to sign up for one of those groups. At least consider it. Because I will tell you, life is better connected. And the reason it's better connected is because that's how God made us. Now, maybe you're here today, and really the first step that you need to make is not walking out and signing up for a small group. Maybe the first step you need to make is getting something right in your own heart. And in a minute, the team's going to come and they're going to lead us in our invitation song. And if God has spoken to you and, you know, you say, you know, that makes sense. And you need to deal with perhaps that vertical relationship that's been damaged for whatever reason. Or you're here and you have horizontal problems and you need to ask God for courage to deal with that. I'm going to invite you to come. If you come to this side, someone who's trained as an encourager is going to come and pray with you. Let them do that. You know, what a better way to start getting connected than to take some courage and come up here and get connected with somebody. Let them pray with you. But if you don't want to do that, you don't feel that that's the step you're ready to take, come to this side. Deal with it between you and the Lord. Go back to your seat. But before you leave today, at least stop at the table and look. And if there's a time that doesn't fit you and a leader that's not there, let us know here at the church, and we'll do everything we can to try to make something work, because we believe that life is better connected, and we are going to do everything that we can practically to help you get connected. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you made us the way you did. You know exactly who we are. You know exactly what we need. And Father, I pray that you'll give us the courage to step forth, to get connected, to put the fears aside, and to realize that, number one, God made me special. I may not even like the way I am, but God knew exactly what he was doing. And if I can trust that, then I can become comfortable and start trusting others. I pray that as the invitation is given, you'll speak to hearts. And I pray that not one person will leave here lonely today because they've dealt with the vertical relationship or they've dealt with some horizontal issue that they've had. Father, we'll be careful to give you the praise for it in Jesus' name.